Genesis chapter 1, I've entitled the message tonight, Wonders of Creation. David Guzik, who is a commentator, a Bible commentator, he made this succinct statement. He said, if you believe in Genesis 1:1, you really have no problem believing the rest of the Bible. And that is so true. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. If you believe that, the rest of the Bible is not hard to believe. All right? And as we look at Genesis 1 this evening, I want to point out four wonders of creation that I found really, really interesting and great to study. Number one is that creation was supernatural, and we know that, but think about the details of it here. It starts out, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. You know, only God was in the beginning. No one else was there. Only God was in the beginning. And that is because God is eternal. He has always existed. He's never had a beginning. He was before the beginning. He is infinite. He is eternal. He is omnipotent. Very important that we understand the character of God. And Henry Morse, who is a Christian scientist, made this statement, although it is impossible for us to comprehend fully the concept of an eternal, transcendent God, the only alternative is the concept of an eternal, self-existing universe. And this concept is also incomprehensible. Eternal God or eternal matter, that is the choice. A personal God is the only adequate cause to produce such effects. We really don't have any other choice. It's either God did it or it did itself. And to believe that it all did itself is far more faith than to believe that God did it. Because there's so many details. By the time we're done here tonight, I hope you'll say there's no way possible that it could have happened by itself or through evolution. We find also that God created those very first words in the Bible. In the beginning, God created. The word create, what does that mean? Well, it literally refers to to call something into existence that has not existed. To call something into existence that wasn't there. It wasn't, and now it is. And God did not simply make everything from existing matter. God didn't take a bunch of putty and say, all right, now we're going to squeeze this together. We'll make a world here, and we'll make some stars. God didn't use anything. He just started with nothing and just created it all. And to create from nothing is the way God did with everything he did. Now you say, well, wait a minute, he created man out of the dust of the ground. Where did he get the dust of the ground? He had just created that a few moments ago. All right, he had just created that, you know, and when he created the beginning, he created the dust of the earth, and then from the dust of the earth he created man. So, you know, he made all of it from nothing in reality. And God created time, space, and matter. That's important. Right here in Genesis 1, we see that in verse number 1. In the beginning. Beginning. What does it mean, in the beginning? Well, in the beginning, God created the beginning. There was nothing before the beginning except God. And our minds just can't grasp that because all of our minds are wrapped around time. But before the beginning, there was nothing. It was just God. And God created the beginning. And so God created time. And we find also that he goes on, he says, in the beginning God created the heaven. The word heaven there is a word that refers to more than just the atmosphere. It refers to space. Again, Henry Morse makes this helpful statement. He says, it seems, however, that the essential meaning of the word corresponds with our modern term space. You know, when God created the heaven, it wasn't just the atmosphere around the earth. It was all of that that's out there besides the matter of the earth. So it was the space. So God created time, he created space, but he also created matter when it says that he created the heaven and the earth. And it doesn't necessarily refer just to the globe of the earth, but the earth matter and the things of matter. He created that. And so here we find if all of this is done in the order that it's laid out, and we assume that it certainly is, then God created the earth before he created all the other planetary matter that is out there. God created the earth first because the earth is the place where he was going to put his creation on. and that God created it all. Peter Pett, in his commentary, says, God first creates the stuff of the universe, the earth, the heaven and the earth. The stuff of the universe. Really, that's really what it is. He created the stuff of the universe that what he was going to make things out of. The space and matter. And he created time to go along with that. So the very first thing we see here is the wonder of the supernatural creation. But secondly, notice that creation was spoken. Creation was spoken. The words, "and God said," are found 10 times in this first chapter. 10 times. "And God said." And I'm not going to take the time and go through and read every one of them because it would just be very repetitive, but you read through that and you'll see it and mark them down or put a dot by them or something. "And God said," "and God said," "and God said," over and over again. And God simply spoke all things into existence. That is amazing. God spoke and it happened. Psalm 33:6. A great verse to memorize. Psalm 33:6. "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts by the breath of his mouth." God just spoke the breath of his mouth, and all that was created. God spoke things into existence. We read in Psalm 148, verse 5, let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. God just said, we'll have that, and it happened. Instantly, God created it. Thus, creation was sudden by the just spoken word of God. It was sudden. It happened instantly. The moment God spoke, his request came into existence. Now, to twist this statement around to fit evolution makes a mockery of God's omnipotence. To somehow say that, "and God said," and 1,000 years or 1,000,000 years later, it all evolved and happened. That doesn't add up at all. If God spoke it and it happened, when the psalmist said, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made and all the hosts them by the breath of his mouth," it had to have happened instantly. It could not have happened over some gradual process of time over thousands and millions of years. It could not happen that way. Those millions of years of chance and struggle and failure do not describe what God did when he said, "and God said," and it happened. He simply spoke. So creation was supernatural. Creation was spoken. But then here's one I want you to really ponder and think about. Creation was extensive. Creation was extensive. And this is something that we don't often think about. What do I mean by that? Every day of creation, of the creation week, God created extensive variety and phenomenal detail with his unlimited power. Now, consider what I'm about to say. Look at verse number 11. All right, Genesis 1, verse number 11. "And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the trees yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good." Now, with one spoken word, God spoke all the grasses and plant matter into existence. But think about that. What does that mean? There are approximately 390,000 species of plants in our world. 390,000. And God spoke them into existence just like that. Every one of them has detail. Every one of them are unique. You look at the flowers. You go through the outback or even outside of town a little bit and look at all of the flowers during the springtime and the different varieties and the colors and the shapes and the beauty of that. Every one of them are unique. Every one of them are exquisitely beautiful. And they all have different details to it. Different colors, different smells, different shapes, different looks. And God did it all just like that in one moment. 390,000 variety, poof, into existence. All of them different. All of them detailed. All of them unique. All of them perfectly made. Amazing. 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 Creation is extensive, but it doesn't stop there. Look down to verse number 14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for the lights of the firmament. Let's just stop there for a moment. When he says that these things, these lights were to be for signs and for seasons, all right, just for signs, what does that tell us? These stars in this, or these things that he's creating out there are for signs. It means that they are going to be consistent so that the people that are watching them, on the mariners on the sea, they can look up in the sky and they know that things are going to be consistent. They don't change. They can trust them. Once they learn what stars are where and what things are where, they can trust it because they are consistent. He said they're for signs, they're for seasons. That means that the rotations are always going to be consistent. You can't have certain seasons unless there's consistency. And so it was for consistency, for days, the 24-hour day system. God devised that so that every day we have 24 hours as things rotate around each other. And for years, 365 and a quarter times a year, we rotate around the sun. And so God sees this, and God has planned this, and God has designed all that. And then verse 15, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven, and to give light upon the earth. And it was so, and God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. And he made the stars also. Isn't that kind of comical? God just adds the end, and he made the stars also. Trillions and trillions and trillions of stars, and he made the stars also. God made amazing things when he did this. The stars are so abundant. You know, those orbits and the rotation and the temperatures of every one of those things out there that God made, whether it be the sun or the moon or the stars or the comets or the planets, they all have different arrangements, they all have different rotations, they all have different things around them, and there are different moons and all kinds of things like that. And all of those things God made in a moment by a spoken word. I've often wondered how many stars there are. And the truth of the matter is, nobody knows. Every time I look it up, I get different answers because everybody's guessing. Nobody knows. The last thing I looked up here as I was preparing this message, the one group of scientists said that there is as many as 2 trillion galaxies. 2 trillion galaxies. And every galaxy has at least 100 billion stars. At least. Some of them say that our galaxy has about 300 billion stars, and ours is a tiny galaxy. Or sorry, 300 million stars. And if that is true, that all of the, I mean, there are just billions and trillions and trillions and trillions of stars. And yet you think about that. Notice what the psalmist said. Psalm 147, verse 4. He telleth the number of the stars, and he calleth them all by their names. God is amazing. And he did it all by his spoken word. And he stretched out the heavens. And they go for what seems like an infinite distance. And yet God knows every one of them. Scientists sit there scratching their head and say, well, we don't know how many there are. And every time they get a bigger telescope, oh, there's more than we thought. And they get a little bigger one. You read about this stuff and it just boggles your mind, and you can't hardly grasp it all, but they just don't know. There's so many stars out there, and God made them all in his spoken word on the fourth day of creation. The extensiveness of God's creation. Now look at verse 20. Verse number 20. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly moving creatures that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created the great whales, and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after his kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. God instantly called all these creatures of the water and the sky into existence. Again, there are about 33,600 species of fish. 33,600 species. God created them just like that with a spoken word. Let there be fish in the sea. And of the birds, 18,000 different species of birds they've identified. And God spoke it all into existence. All with just the spoken word. And you think about it, and God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly. Thousands and thousands of kinds of fish. And every one of them unique. I'll never forget the opportunities I had to go fishing with the New Guineans up in Papua New Guinea. We lived for 2 years in the jungle village of Awar, and it was right on the ocean, and there was a bay on our ocean, on the ocean there. It was a very large bay, and it was called Hansa Bay, and in the bay was 35 sunken Japanese ships from the war. The Japanese had made Awar one of their headquarters. There's a great big huge airstrip, big airstrip. Now it's just fields and gardens, but you can see where it was. There's a crashed plane or two in the bushes there, and bomb holes all over the place. I mean, so many bomb holes, and big enough bomb holes that you could put a whole car in it and not see the car. I mean, big bomb holes. And the U.S. and allies came through and bombed it all, sunk all the ships in one attack, I believe. And it was a huge thing. But out in the bay, all those sunken ships full of beautiful fish. And we would go out there fishing. And I'm not much of a swimmer. But I'd swim, you know, a little bit under the water and look down there with my goggles. And these other guys were diving way deep and getting big fish. I'd get these little ones like this. I'm not much of a swimmer, but beautiful. Every color you can think of and shape and design and beauty. Just beyond imagination. God did it all in a moment. Every single one of them, different and unique. God created them after their kind. Beauty, wonder, amazement. Every one of those birds in the sky. You walk out in the morning, you listen to the birds. You hear them all singing. Every one with their own little tune. Every one with their own little way of doing it. They all have different colors, different shapes, different bills, different occupations. I like the ones that are the bug eaters, and they come flying around even in our garden or in the veranda, and they're looking for things in the spider webs and stuff, and they'll fly in there, and they can hover over and grab their bugs. God made them all different, every one of them. And he did it in a moment of time. Then we read down in verse 24. And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures after his kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind and the cattle after their kind and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. When God said he made there the cattle, the word cattle there is a word that describes all the domestic animals, whether it be cows and sheep and horses and, you know, all of the domestic animals. But God made them all, and he said that he made them after their kind. Again, I looked up the species on this, and I'm not it's a species of all the mammals, and I know there are some fishes that are mammals, so probably some of those are included in there, but there's about 5,400 species of mammals. You think about the creatures we know, you know, the horses and the kangaroo and the mouse and the lion and the sheep and the donkeys and the cows and the dogs and the cats and all those creatures that we have around us. All the different kinds. Every one of them unique. Every one of them different. Every one of them with different characteristics and different purposes and different habitat and different ways that they live and way that they even with the kangaroos and others that have their babes in their pouch or they put them in their pouch and they feed them and they, God, all that. God made all those different things and all the unique things. He did it all just like that. He said, let there be, and there was. I mean, if we took, If we just were going to design one thing, just design it, not give a life, we couldn't do that. But if we were just to design one creature, it would probably take a lifetime to try to figure out all the intricate details to design one of those little creatures. And then we wouldn't make it right. But God did it right the first time for thousands of them. And then God also says, and he's repeated this several times throughout the chapter, they were able to multiply after their kind. That is very significant. And that right there is enough to quash evolution. Because things can only multiply after their kind. You can try for your lifetime to breed a cow with a cat and you will never succeed. Never. Because God made it impossible. They can only breed within their kind. And so God made specific kinds. And not only that, but within those kinds, God gave those first creatures that he created in the Garden of Eden all of the DNA and all the genetic abilities to be able to produce every single kind of creature in their kind that we know of today. We've got dogs of all shapes and sizes, but they're all dogs. And all those kinds of dogs had their genetic start in those first two dogs that God created there in the Garden of Eden. God placed all the genetic ability in them. Same thing with humans. We've got people that look all different kinds. And all the genetics and DNA was in those first two, Adam and Eve, that multiplied to every kind we have today. God put all that in them without making a mistake. Every single creature God created in an amazing way. And he equipped them. They were fully equipped, fully mature, and ready to multiply. It's amazing. God created extensively. And then there was man. Genesis 1:26. And God said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And God created man in his unique way. And God created man after his own image. God created us in his image. We are not animals. Young people, when you go to school and they teach you that man is the highest of the animal kingdom, that is not true. Man is not an animal. Man is human. We have never been an animal. We didn't evolve from the monkeys like they try to tell us. We don't have any relation among them. We are unique. We are different. We're created in the image of God with the ability to be able to reason and think. And we talked a little bit about that last week. We are unique. And so creation is extensive. But creation number four, creation is also perfect. Creation was perfect. God created everything good. It was good. Six times during the creation week, God saw what he did and God said, and it was good. It was good. It was good. Six times he said that. God made no mistakes. Every star, every fish, every bird, every animal functioned flawlessly the way God created them. Every sound that those creatures make was unique in exactly what God wanted it to be intended for a particular purpose. Some creatures, and especially birds and that, seem to have special kinds of mating calls and things of that nature. God put that in them. God made it all. It wasn't something that evolved over time. God did that. And every creature was pre-programmed with unique instincts needed to survive. Why is it that some birds migrate, and they'll fly for thousands of kilometers to migrate during the winter or summer? Why? How do they know that? What about the butterflies? Some of the butterflies, the monarch butterfly, travels thousands of miles to migrate every year, and they go back to the same spot where they were born. And they, how could they find that? How could they know that? How could they know what to do and where to go and when to go and how to get there? And God put it in them. It is amazing. And God gave them those instincts. And God placed within the grasses, all the grasses that He made in the world, all the plants and animals, and or plants and trees and grasses and fruits and all that kind of stuff. He put within them all the nutrients that all the creatures of the world that eat those things would need to be able to survive. God made no mistakes. It was good. Everything He did was exactly good. And then we find at the very end of the chapter, verse number 31, and God saw that everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning was the sixth day. It was very good. God said there was nothing wrong with it. And for God, who is absolutely perfect, to say it was very good, we know it was very good. It was absolutely perfect. Everything from the plants to the planets, from the dingoes to the dinosaur, from the mouse to the man, everything was very good. Very good. God's creation was 100% successful. 100% success rate. How many companies can say, our company's got 100% success rate? Well, maybe for a short little time they might have some success. But to say they're always successful, God's creation was perfectly successful. God has never had to make any recalls. God's never said, oh, you know, I kind of messed up on that bird. Let me try that one a second time. God didn't have to do that. They were all perfect the first time. And He never had to send out a patch or an update. So we need to fix this a little bit. They were all perfect. Just exactly what God wanted them. Psalm 104:24 says, O Lord, how manifold are Thy works. In wisdom Thou hast made them all. The earth is full of Thy riches. We've got a great God. We've got a wonderful creation. And you know, you are not an accident in evolution. You're not an evolutionary accident. You are created by God for His glory. And we need to thank God for His wonderful creation. And as you read over again the chapter 1 of Genesis, keep these things in mind. Creation was supernatural. Creation was spoken. Creation was very, very extensive in its detail. And creation was perfect. Perfect. God made no mistakes.